This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
I'm Charlie Goetz, reading from Poets and Writers Magazine, Volume 52, Issue 2, March-April 2024. And this section is called, it's a section on, special section, called Writer's Retreats. And the title of this segment is Dream Big, Travel Far. And it's by Emma Komlos-Robsky, who's a senior editor at Poets and Writers. Imagine, if you will, a breeze off the Mediterranean wafts through your open window and plays at the curtain above your writing desk, or a staggering view of Switzerland's majestic Jura Mountains dazzles you from beyond your cabin, or a bustling streetscape thrums just down the hill from the walled garden where you've set yourself up to work. A plate of something delicious waits on your desk. On your open laptop, a cursor flickers with possibility. And most important, ahead of you, stretches unencumbered time to write, approaching your ideas with new perspective, energy, and freedom. Such a retreat is the stuff of dreams for many writers, and for those who put their mind to it, it can sometimes become a reality. Every year, writers make their escape to dozens of retreats abroad, in locations that span the globe and awaken new possibilities in their work. For those who find it nearly impossible to set aside their responsibilities and give undivided attention to a manuscript, an international retreat can be just the right opportunity for their writing to flourish, putting miles, if not oceans, between their creative practice and the obligations of everyday life. But an international writing retreat can offer much more than distance at which to write productively. Time spent abroad can loosen creativity, push work in new directions, or offer a space of sanctuary in which to fully commit to a project, keeping just its ideas for company, unclouded by expectation or concern for how others will receive it. Such a retreat is a gift for both you and your work. And after seemingly endless seasons of bad news, not to mention a pandemic that quashed many a big travel dream, we could all use a proper vacation, and our creative practice probably could also. Consider this your invitation to imagine the wildest possibilities for your writing, and contemplate such a trip for yourself, perhaps at one of the following six inspiring retreats. And if you're a writer with your feet planted firmly on the ground, unable to dream until the logistics have been squared away, read on in this section for advice about finding the funding and the time to make such a dream reality. If in doubt, it's always a good idea for a writer to go to Paris, or a nonfiction writer, novelist Darcy Steink, might have been thinking when she and poet Jeffrey Green first envisioned the Summer Creative Writing Institute at the American University in Paris. Located in the 7th arrondissement, a chic area at the heart of the city where the Eiffel Tower itself will be your neighbor, the program offers three-week classes every July in poetry, fiction, and nonfiction to a cohort of writers looking to immerse themselves in the culture of the City of Light. But don't expect to find yourself awash in a sea of fellow expats. The program attracts students from all over the world, says Steinke. I really love the international feel of it, very different from than other summer programs that are filled with Americans. We revel in Paris, teaching French writers and poets, and visiting museums to look at art and write about it. Also, many of the teachers live in Paris full-time, and so are well connected to the literary scene there. We have readers from all over the world, as well as expatriates who have made their life in Paris. Even with a robust schedule of workshops, readings, and evening salons to attend, participants have ample time simply to write. Fridays and weekends are left deliberately unscheduled, allowing participating writers the opportunity to both enjoy the pleasures of the city and deeply engage their work. This year's classes, run in English, will take place between July 2nd and July 22nd. The deadline to apply to the program is June 1st. Those interested in receiving one of a limited number of stipends to cover travel expenses must apply by March 29th. Well, that boat has sailed. Other writers let their fancy draw them farther south, to the picturesque market town of Nérac, France, and the grounds of Studio Fair. From April to October, Studio Fair welcomes artists who live and work in its charming, stately Maison de Maître, built in 1831, which still retains its marble fireplaces, spectacular shuttered windows, and surrounding gardens. At the retreat, the pace of your days is completely your own. We support residents who develop their own routine in whatever way will carry their creative pursuits forward best, says Julia Douglas, who co-owns Studio Fair with her husband Colin Usher. For some, this will mean a calm walk by the river in the morning, followed by a coffee and croissant in the town before getting down to an intensive period of focus on their writing project. For others, the morning routine starts by opening up the shutters to fill the workspace with beautiful light, then with a steaming mug of tea at their side, they are ready to write, only venturing out later to stretch and explore the old town's secret avenues when the sun is high in the sky. Whatever the routine, it almost always ends together with fresh salad, cheese, wine, and laughter around the table in the beautiful garden. Magical spaces for working abound at Studio Fair. Writers might perch before the window in the cozy bureau room overlooking the grounds, or set up amid the calming deep blue of the Usher Hall, where the enormous scale of the room allows them to change position from time to time to keep them alert and fresh, says Douglas. And for others, venturing outside is what they need for their ideas to flow, either to the expansive park behind the house with its ancient fruit trees offering shaded nooks, or into the town with a laptop to feel the buzz of the locals in a cafe or bar. Still not sold? Look forward to the occasional company of the property's animal familiars, a momentary distraction by mischievous cats or old friendly dog. Applications for stays of 2 to 4 weeks are accepted year-round. For residencies in 2025, the cost is €1,300, approximately $1,413 for 2 weeks, or €2,500, approximately $2,717, for 4. Fellowships are not available, but because Douglas and Usher are both themselves creative practitioners who understand the finances of working artists, they aim to make the space financially accessible by keeping frills and costs down, and are able to, quote, offer staged payments or provide a letter of support or a funding application or assistance with promoting a crowdfunding campaign, unquote. If you are in need of more luxury and all possible frills, and lucky enough to have the budget for it, head east across the French Alps and down to Italy's Amalfi coast. If, between workshop critiques and sips of Campari, you find yourself gazing at the spectacular blue of the Mediterranean as it laps the toes of the cliffside village of Positano, you'll know you've been lured to Sirenland. This one-week writer's retreat is held every spring at Positano's La Sirenese Hotel, and organized in part by the celebrated literary magazine One Story. Launched in 2007 by writers Michael Marin, Danny Shapiro, and Hannah Tinti, the hotel owners and literary acolytes, and Tony and Carlin Cesare, the retreat gathers a small cohort of fiction and memoir writers to study with luminaries such as Anthony Dare, Elizabeth Gilbert, Jim and Karen Shepherd, Jesse Walter, and Meg Wolitzer. In the off hours, writers can savor all the amenities of the family-run five-star hotel has to offer, including a spa, a pool, and the cuisine of its Michelin-starred restaurant, or, more important, repair to a balcony or terrace to write in tranquility. The environment makes not only for a vacation to remember, but a uniquely intimate opportunity to connect with fellow writers and with your own work. The adventure will cost you, the 2024 price tag is $5,600, but those who have been there say it was money well spent. I think that most participants would say that the experience has been life-changing, and they have made friends and professional relationships that will have a lifelong impact, says writer and co-director Michael Marin. I can't at this time tell you how many books and publications have come from the conference that the writers attribute directly to their time at Sirenland, but it's a significant number, and nothing is more telling than the fact that large numbers of Sirenlanders want to return, so many that we've had to cap the number of returnees every year and ask people not to apply 2 years in a row. In 2025, Sirenland will run from April 6th through April 12th. Applications for the retreat will be due November 8th, 2024. The avant-garde architecture and thrilling mountaintop background of the Jan Michalski Foundation retreat in Montreuil, Switzerland, lends an entirely different energy to the work of its resident writers and translators. Named for publisher and editor Jan Michalski, and founded by fellow publisher and partner Vera Michalski-Hoffmann, the foundation aims to support literature, quote, so their common commitment to those who work with the written word and to the very practice of reading will not disappear, unquote. The residency's grounds comprise seven dazzling modern cabins, that's in quotes, nestled under a shared canopy evoking Blade Runner more readily than the backwoods. Devoted to serving the international literary community, the retreat allows writers to work in solitude and peace for weeks or months at a time, coming together in a shared kitchen space to prepare meals, or perhaps encountering one another at the Foundation's five-story library. I think the inspiration found here is twofold, says head of Writing Residencies Program Thomas Roberge, of what the writers take from their time in the singular environment. For one, it's the company of other writers from all over, as many as seven at a time, always coming and going, offering different approaches and styles. And that's not to mention the previous residents, whose ghost-like presence is also important. And secondly, the foundation is situated in an absolutely stunning location, one that is fairly remote despite being only an hour or so from Geneva. And so residents have the sense that they've escaped their quotidian lives, which often encourages creativity. Unquote. All stays at the foundation are fully funded, and writers receive a weekly stipend to cover living costs. One fully accessible cabin is available. Applications open annually in the spring for the residencies in the following year. A productive mix of undisturbed writing time and the inspiration of fellow artists is also central to the spirit of the Bogliaskio. Let me spell that for you. Bogliasco, Bogliasco Foundation Retreats, located in the coastal fishing village of Bogliasco, Italy, just south of Genoa. The Bogliasco Foundation provides fully funded residencies from January to May and September to December. Attending poets, fiction writers, and nonfiction writers stay in a villa built along the traces of ancient Roman roads and shaded by pine trees, where natural beauty combines with an intimate group setting to encourage inquiry and transformative exchange across all disciplines. That's a quote. According to the Foundation, the time and space to create in complete freedom, combined with the stimulating company of diverse colleagues in this intimate setting, results in an intellectual and creative exchange that is particularly potent and long-lasting. Another quote. Recent fellows have included composers, designers, academics, and choreographers, so look forward to after-dinner conversations as rich and robust as the local Liguria region's wine. To apply for residencies in spring 2025, submit an application by March 14th, well, I guess 14th of 2025, so that would be still open. And for an international adventure a little closer to the States, consider Guanajuato. Guanajuato, I guess, writing retreat in the eponymous city of Guanajuato, Mexico. Founded in 2021 by poet and psychologist Bonnie Wolkenstein, the retreat immerses its attendants in the cultural life of Guanajuato while leaving ample time and space for exploratory writing. Rather than using a conventional workshop model, Wolkenstein gathers the group's writers each day for themed writing sessions meant to encourage experimentation, play, and a deepened sense of one's project as an artist. One major difference is that the focus is on personal growth, not on writing technique, style, publication, or marketing, says Wolkenstein. That gives the workshops and the week a different feel from a more typical writing retreat. It's where my being a psychologist and a poet shapes the event, I think. That's a quote. During the week-long retreat, which will next be held September 22nd to September 29th, and is accepting applications through mid-June, the group enjoys phenomenal meals, makes time to meditate, and takes expeditions to local cultural destinations such as the Otomi Pyramid, La Canada de la Virgen. Above all, each participant savors time to write, collaborate, and relax in the tranquil space of the Florecer, Casitas Retreat, and its walled gardens. All are welcome here, says Wolkenstein. Participants have a range of writing skills. Some are published authors, retreat hosts, and university faculty members. Others are writing students, and very few and very new writers. Each brings life experience and emotional engagement, allowing for individual growth. There is kindness and laughter and acceptance of the many diverse life paths and writing styles. Kindness, acceptance, room to grow. What more could a writer want in pursuing his or her work? A spectacular view? Well, okay. With planning and self-advocacy and perhaps some luck, you can sometimes have that too. Well, yeah. So dream big and see where a writer or where a retreat abroad might take you and your writing. And this section is entitled Finding the Time and Money, How Real Emerging Writers Make Retreats and Conferences Work. And that's by Ananda Lima, who's the author of Craft Stories I Wrote for the Devil, forthcoming in June from Tor Books. And she also wrote Motherland, winner of the Hudson Prize. It might have taken some time for you to be confident saying it, but you are a writer emerging, yes, but a writer. Writing is an essential part of your life. You work hard at your craft. You care deeply about your writing. It's when you're writing that you feel most fully like yourself. But in addition to being a writer, you are also a person living in the world. You have to navigate a life, job, or take care of others, manage your bills, or all of the above. You dream of having your own time, even if just for a little while, to focus solely on your writing at a retreat or a conference, to think, work, and connect with other writers. You imagine, maybe later, when you have a book out and some more recognition of your work, you may be able to make it all happen. But how do you find the time and quiet between a hungry child, a demanding boss, and an ever-growing to-do list to write that debut in the first place? Well, here's what emerging and once emerging, but now established writers have to say about how they were able to claim that time for themselves. First, it may be helpful to know that if you are having a hard time thinking of how to carve out the time or money, you're not alone. When you see a fellow writer's social media posts of grassy fields and idyllic cabins, manuscript pages arranged on a wall, it may seem like getting there was easy. But nearly every writer I spoke to about finding time away said that it is often extremely challenging. Sometimes what you find out on your feed reflects a rare and long-awaited break after many misses. For John Hickey, author of the debut novel Big Chief, forthcoming from Simon & Schuster, the biggest challenge was child care. At times, parenting duties have kept him from being able to attend workshops even after he was accepted. For several years, I was the primary caregiver to our eldest son, and it wasn't easy to find arrangements for 1 or 2 weeks a year. Then we had another baby, who was born in the summer, prime conference time. Julia Fine, author of Madalena and the Dark, recounts a similar experience. It can be very hard to find the time to step away. I've had residency opportunities that I've had to turn down because it all meant being away from the kids for 3 weeks, which is too long for me. Child care worries can compound with work commitments. Jamie Nakamura, Lynn, author of The Night Parade, had to juggle her obligations to her young child as well as to her job, and ultimately had to wait until circumstances changed to find the time away she craved. I finished my MFA in 2013. I didn't go on any residencies or anything until 2021 because I was working at a public library and didn't get much time off, says Nakamura Lin. I couldn't do it until I quit the library to be a freelance editor. Sometimes the triple whammy of care, work, and money are all obstacles to time away for writing. As a single parent with a locked-in co-parenting schedule and as someone with a full-time non-academic job who lives in one of the world's most expensive cities, I don't have a lot of flexibility or a lot of disposable income, says Casey Trommer, author of we call them beautiful, who resides in New York City. This means that most residency options are simply not available to me. It can be very difficult to watch opportunities pass by, and it is also hard to work out the logistics to go, but when authors do find a way, they say it was well worth it. Trauma has attended two residencies since she had her son 13 years ago, fewer than she'd like, but both have had significant impact on her work. A retreat through the Escribe Aquí Right Here residency at the Betsy Hotel in Miami was a real gift to her writing. A week to look at the work I've done and to assess the work ahead, quotes. Trummer also attended residency on Governor's Island, an uninhabited parkland off Manhattan's southern tip. The residency was an incredible boon to me as a writer, says Trummer. It was during that program that she developed the idea for her next book, a collection of ekphrastic poems about the work of female-identifying writers, and connected with fellow residents who became collaborators. Forming such a community is a particularly crucial benefit of retreats for writers otherwise working in isolation. After completing graduate school and a Stegner Fellowship, Hickey found himself distanced from writing, the writing community. I was a stay-at-home dad for toddlers, says Hickey, which meant I wasn't talking to many adults, and the ones I did talk to weren't writers. I needed to be around people who cared about fiction, unquote. By attending conferences, he was able to find the community and receive feedback on his writing. After steadily working on his novel and incorporating the feedback he received, he ultimately also met his agent, Michelle Brower, at the dining hall of the Sewanee Writers Conference. And poet Donna Spruit-Mentz, author of General Release from the Beginning of the World, describes an experience at McDowell as similarly life-changing. My writing partner and I got to stay at McDowell for 2 weeks, she said. But in those 2 weeks, we basically finished a book. Though it was difficult to organize a way to go, and she thought the stay would be too short, she notes that we couldn't have made the book that we made without that blessed time. So, how exactly do writers manage to claim that blessed time? Well, one key is planning and preparation. When Davin Malsan had the opportunity to attend the Writing Downtown residency in Las Vegas, the timing was perfect as he needed long stretches of time to work on revisions to his debut novel, forthcoming in 2025 from One World. But he was concerned about setting aside caretaking responsibilities for his elderly family members. So Malsan devised a plan. I stocked up their groceries, arranged for visitors, and reminded them I could have anything else delivered. We also had nightly phone calls while I was away to check up on each other. Planning well in advance also makes retreats possible for fiction writer Camila Santos, who has worked a full-time desk job for the past 7 years. I can only attend a residency if I use most of my vacation days for the year. I also need to get that time off approved by my manager. The trick is to be the first one to add it to the team calendar and to give as much advance notice as possible so that co-workers can plan for my time away and so that no one contacts me during the time off. Essayist and short story writer Nicole Zhu, who is a software engineer, also suggests preparing those around you so they can support you. One thing that really helps is sharing your goals and intentions with the people in your life, she says. Whether that's family, friends, who might be able to support you, logistically, financially, etc., or your boss or co-workers if you have a day job, it can help lay the groundwork for when the time comes to plan for the program. Having support from others is often crucial in securing time away. To attend workshops, Zhu had to request anywhere from 1 week to 11 days off from her day job. I was lucky that at the time I was working at a company with unlimited paid time off, and we were genuinely encouraged to use it, she says. Support is even more crucial for those with caring responsibilities. For the first 15 to 18 years of my writing and teaching career, attendances at conferences and residencies have always required extended family to help with childcare, notes poet Sarah Kane Gutowski. The same is true for Hickey, who was able to have time away from with the help of his family. My wife was able to schedule some of her vacation time, or she would work half days and hand some of the childcare off to her parents, who live in the same house. Whether in the form of supportive family or an employer, or being able to afford travel, tuition, or time away from paid work, luck plays a big part too. My in-laws agreed to watch the littles, which was a really big deal for us, and yet also a huge example of how residencies are tied to privilege and good luck, because not everyone has that kind of help available to them, notes Gutowski. Nakamura Lin feels the same way. It's only possible because I have a lot of familial and financial privilege. My family lives nearby and can help out. My husband is a teacher and has summers off. Right now, I don't have a 9-to-5 job outside of writing and speaking gigs. This is obviously compounded so many times over for people who do not have the ability to take off from work or find childcare or pay the costs. Santos, Malasan, and Zhu highlight that they were lucky to have supervisors or work environments that were supportive to their writing lives. And I'm afraid that's going to do it for this session. We'll pick it up again when we get together next time. I'm Charlie Goetz, and I thank you for your company, and hope for it again very soon.